I appreciate your prayers. I really want to hear from the Lord. And I need the Lord's help to be able to get this message across, and it would be a blessing to you all. I was thinking about some of the songs that we were singing just now, and 163 says, "My Jesus, I love thee."
Yes.
And I know that many of you, and myself included, truly love the Lord.
Yes.
Truly appreciate all that He's done, and you know, all the mercy that He's shown to us and His goodness. And the people who don't know the Lord don't really know what they're missing.
Yes,
you know, they don't. They really don't know. They think they have the good life already, you know, and they just don't know what they're missing by not serving the Lord. I was thinking of Psalm 128. It says, "My heart says amen."
Yes.
You know, it's one thing to get saved. It's one thing to accept the salvation that the Lord gives and the forgiveness that He gives. But it's a whole other thing to say, you know what, I'm going to serve you, Lord. That's a different commitment. You know, a lot of times people want to get something from God, and they need it. But there's more than that.
Yes.
What will we give Him?
Yes.
You know, will we say, "My heart says amen to your will"? That's kind of a general statement. Because we may not know what His will is today, you know, or tomorrow, or what He's going to require of us. And the reality is that we don't have to know.
That's right.
Because God is good.
Amen.
And if we've experienced a relationship with Him, we know that.
Yes.
We've experienced it. We know that God is good to us, that He loves us and cares for us.
Amen.
And so it's not a hard thing to say amen to His will.
Yes, that's true.
But sometimes it is.
Yes.
And why is that? Because sometimes God's will goes against our flesh.
Yes.
And Psalm 150, "Let me walk in the path which my Savior hath trod. Let me follow so close by His side. For by trusting in Him, I am happy and free. In the fold of His love, let me hide." I just want to follow the Lord.
Yes.
I just want to do what He wants me to do. I just want to be close to Him. And I know that by doing that, I'll be in a safe place.
Yes.
That God is going to lead me in a path that's safe and good and prosperous. And it's going to be a blessing to me.
Right.
And so why fear it? You know, why be afraid to surrender all?
Yeah.
Why be afraid to say amen to His will? You know, to completely surrender. You know, I say all that to lead into to the message this afternoon. I don't know how long ago it was, maybe a couple weeks ago. I was asleep and the Lord woke me up with a thought. And the thought was, Demas has forsaken me. And so I thought about that thought and I don't know how you would have thought if you woke up with that, but for me, I was like, okay, Demas has forsaken me. I know what the rest of that verse says, you know, and what are you saying, Lord? You know, immediately I go to the Lord. I'm like, what is it, Lord? Is it me? You know, have I done something? Am I holding back in any way? Is there something that is missing, you know, that I need to correct or I need to do, you know, searching? Demas has forsaken me. It was a concerning thought to me, you know, and I, like I said, I searched my heart. What would you do if you woke up and the Lord, Demas has forsaken me? Would you think, oh, he must be talking about John? Or would you think, Lord, what is it? And that's what this song is about when he says, my heart says amen to your will. My situation in that moment was like, Lord, help me to see it. Help me to know where I'm lacking. Help me to know how I can line up with your will. I do not want to forsake you, Lord.
Amen.
You know, I don't want to be that one that forsakes the Lord.
That's right.
You know, I understand that in this situation, it's Paul that's talking, and he's referring to Demas having forsaken him. And I know that there's a lot of different thoughts about that, and some think that maybe Demas just left the works of the Gentiles to go and to minister to the Jews, you know. And maybe that's true. I'm not really sure. But I know that when it says that Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, you know, to me that's enough of a statement right there. I don't have to know all the details. Even if he had left the ministry to the Gentiles in a way to get away from persecution, it would still be a concerning thing to me.
Yes.
And I would never want to do that myself. I would not want to withhold from God out of fear of what might happen. And so, as I said, my situation was, Demas has forsaken me. What should I do with that, Lord? You know, what is it? And I can say from my personal experience that the Lord did remind me of something. And he said, well, remember this. You know, I was like, oh, well, okay, Lord. You know, and right away, you know, we got it done. We got it done. Thank the Lord. But the question is where are we forsaking God?
Yes.
Are we searching our heart?
Yes.
In Psalms 26 and 2, David, I think it is speaking here, and he says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. What does David mean when he says, try my reins and my heart? To try the reins is to try to see if you're going to go where he wants you to go, right? When you got the reins of your horse and you're trying the reins one way or the other, you're expecting this horse to respond the way you're asking it to.
That's right.
And this is the same that David is asking the Lord to do. Examine me, Lord. Search my heart. Tell me if I'm going the wrong way.
Yes.
Lead me in the path that you would have me go.
Yes.
Prove me.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we might not like that phrase or that way of thinking that God is going to prove us, you know. But I was thinking of a situation where God did prove Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 22, we see that the Lord proved Abraham. Genesis 22 and 12. The Lord asked Abraham to take his son, his only begotten son, the son of promise, the son that he had been waiting for his whole life, the son that God had told him that would be a multitude of nations, that, you know, everything was in this son that God had offered or had given him. And the Lord asked him to give him up. To sacrifice him himself.
Yes.
And we could think about that and think there's no way that I would be able to do that, you know. But the principle is the same, is that God proved him. And in this verse it says, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. By this, it was proven that Abraham's heart was purely and solely for the Lord, that he was willing to give the only son, the promised son, the son that everything was coming through, back into God. And in Hebrews it says that he believed that he believed so much in God that he believed that if it was necessary that God can raise him back from the dead in order to fulfill the promise that he had given. And so Abraham wasn't concerned about sacrificing his son because he believed so much in God that he knew that God was not going to forsake his will, his word, that he was not going to go against what he had promised. And he can stand on that and be assured of that, and so can we. The Lord will not forsake us. But are we forsaking him? Examine me, O Lord. Show me. Teach me. Am I doing all that you would have me to do? Am I surrendered in everything? Would I withhold anything back from you? Am I holding anything back from you? Is it a bad thing to give all unto the Lord? To surrender all unto him? Are we going to get in a situation where we're found in need because we've given all to God? Matthew chapter 19, verse 29. It says, "And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit eternal life." He said that you can forsake all things in your life and inherit all things. Yes. And it's not to say that when you say forsaking that you leave your children to go hungry, you know, or that you don't take care of your family, or it's not about that. It's about priority. Yes. It's about making God the priority. Because when you serve God and you are wholeheartedly for the Lord, and he's going to take care of the rest of that. He says, "Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So it's not a matter of neglect. It's not a matter of neglecting your family and your loved ones, but it's a matter of putting God in his rightful place.
Amen.
As number one.
Amen.
Not just number one ahead of your family, but number one ahead of you. You know, that you're not going to allow yourself to get in between you and God and you and your relationship with the Lord. And you're going to surrender all unto him.
Yes.
And your heart's going to say amen to his will.
Yes.
Because you want to serve the Lord.
Right.
You know, it says, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved the world, or the love of the world, for the love of the world." In 1 John 2:15, and we heard it earlier today, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." 2:15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." We can't serve two masters. You know, we can't have it both ways. It's either we love God or we don't. You know, he has to be first and foremost. It's for some people that's a difficult thing to grasp and to put into practice. But God has to be first, and there's a benefit in that. If you place God first, he can bless us.
Yes.
But if you're not, then it's almost like hog-tying him. You know, we keep him from being able to do what it is that he wants to do in our lives. The blessings come through obedience. You know, like it was said earlier, the two go together. It's got to be us mixed with God. It can't be just us, and it can't just be God. But we got to have both. But we can't have a love for the world. You know, I think about Demas, and it says that he... it was because of the love of the world that he forsook Paul.
Yes.
And I can imagine, you know, the difficulty it was to hang around with Paul.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they went through a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, imprisonments and beatings and stonings. And, I mean, They went through a lot of stuff. And if Demas was there, I'm sure he went through a lot of stuff too. And so I can understand the draw.
Yes.
I can understand the desire to get away from persecution. You know, it's one of the things in the sower of the seeds, it says that they fell away or because of the offenses for the word's sake. Mm-hmm. Or the persecution that comes from God's word or from being obedient to the Lord. Sometimes it does come. But will we forsake God because of that?
Yes.
Will we change what we do because of it? You know, will we not praise God in front of people because we think that they might not believe, or because we think that they might say something smart or do something ill to us because of it? Or will we just say, you know what, I love the Lord. God is good. He's blessed me. He's kept me. And you know, will we proclaim the name of Jesus or will we forsake him? There's a lot of ways that we can forsake the Lord. You know, one of the things I was thinking about in this topic of forsaking God is I really think that some are forsaking the call. The Lord is calling for whatever service it might be. But he's calling. Are we forsaking him? Are we saying no? Are we saying, well, let's wait until a convenient time?
Yes.
The Lord is calling.
Yes.
You know, it's not just ministers, you know, it's everything, you know. It's one thing, can the Lord say that we're forsaking him? But it's another thing, can our brothers and sisters say that we're forsaking them? Leaving them to do all the work? You know, the body is made up of members, and every member has their part. And when all members are fulfilling their part, we have a wonderful body. But when some are holding back, it's a forsaking. It's a forsaking unto the Lord, and it's a forsaking unto the brothers and sisters who serve alongside you. I would pray that we would heed the call.
Yes.
Say amen to the will of the Lord. You know, I mean, I have fears, you know, but I try not to be controlled by my fears. I'm afraid I'm going to mess up.
Yes.
You know, that I'm going to get up when I'm not supposed to get up. You know, I mean, it's just being honest. I have concerns about those things. But am I going to let those things keep me from serving God? Am I going to let my concerns about my inabilities or my lackings keep me from being obedient? Will you? You know, will you forsake the call and tell the Lord like Moses, well, you know, I don't speak good, and you know, I'm really not equipped for this job. The Lord isn't concerned about that. When he makes a call, he's going to give the ability and the power to do it. There's two parts, like we heard this morning. You know, we're not by ourselves.
That's right.
It works when God is in it with us. You know, by his grace, we can do it. It's just a matter of will.
Yes.
Will we do it or not?
Yes.
And like I said, it's not just about ministry. You know, it's about a lot of different things. That, you know, we can help in a lot of ways.
That's right.
You know, I think about the scripture where it says that I was thirsty and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was cold, and you didn't clothe me.
Yes.
You know, that was the Lord. And they asked, Lord, when did this happen? When we saw you and didn't give you a drink or didn't feed you, and he says, when you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Yeah. And that's a forsaking unto the Lord.
Yes.
You know, we all can do our little part.
Amen.
And in doing that, it makes a whole body, a strong body.
Yes.
A body that cares for one another, strengthens one another, encourages one another. And we all get blessed because of it. But we got to heed the call.
Yes.
Are we hearing God?
Yes.
Are we listening? Will we say amen to His will, even when it goes against our, even when it's not convenient for us?
Yes.
You know, well, you know, that really doesn't fit in my schedule, you know? But God is supposed to be primary on our schedule. You know, I think of the importance of raising a family, raising children, especially now. You know, when I got a child on the way and I'm trying to learn from the Lord how to raise a child. You know, I mean, it's a huge responsibility to think that this child is depending on me for guidance and direction. And how do I instill godliness in this child? How do I train him in a way that's appropriate and good for his soul?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I think we forsake our children by not training them in the way that they should be trained in the Lord, teaching them about God. You know, I instruct them in the Word. You know, you might think, well, you know, I'm not really good at that. I'm not really good at the Scriptures. I'm not really knowledgeable in that. But be faithful.
Amen.
Read the Word to them.
Amen.
You know, let them hear it. Let them know that you believe it.
Yes.
And that you stand on it. And that your life is fixed on this. That it means something. It's not just something that we do every week or every other, you know, twice a week or whatever. But it's what we base our lives on.
Yes.
We live for this.
Amen.
God is real. He's active. He's doing something in our lives. Do you see when we prayed and the Lord answered? This is the answer to prayer. This is why we pray to the Lord. That's a ministry in itself. In ministering to our families and our loved ones, our children. Making sure that they know the Lord.
Yes.
That they know that we have a heart to serve God.
Yes.
I really hope that we're not forsaking the Lord, forsaking our brothers and sisters, forsaking our families by not putting God first. I was thinking a while back in this, I was at work and this, actually a song came to my mind that I'm not really good with songs, but this song came to my mind and it was just a couple of lines because I really don't remember all the verses to the song unless the Lord really puts it on my heart and my mind. But this one phrase was put in it and it says, well, we'll go ahead and read it in the scripture first. Daniel 5 and 27. And, I mean, just as a background, this is a king that his father was Nebuchadnezzar, and he became ruler, and they were drinking out of the cup from the temple and praising their own gods and all this stuff. And this is what the Lord told him. It says, "Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." And so that thought, again, came to me while I was at work. And so I was meditating on that. And I was thinking of how horrible a thing that would be for the Lord to tell you that. For the Lord to tell me that. You know, that I was proved. Say, like I was proved like Abraham or proved like Job. Or, you know, I was tested and found wanting. You know, the Lord revealed His will to me. And I refused. And was found wanting. It was a sickening feeling in my heart to think of the Lord telling me this, that you are weighed in the balance and found wanting.
Yes.
You know, the mercy of the Lord reveals to us when we're lacking.
Yes.
It's the mercy of God that shows us that we have a need. That we're wanting. That's the mercy of God.
Yes.
You know, that He would show us those things so that we can give them to Him, so we can surrender unto Him, so that we can let Him have it and renew us. Help us to be obedient in those areas. Help us to follow through. Help us to heed the call and to be active. Are we weighed in the balance and found wanting? Is the Lord calling and we're not hearing and we're not responding? And Matthew says that His harvest is plenteous, but His laborers are few. Will you pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would send laborers into His harvest?
Amen.
My heart says, Amen to your will, Lord. I'm here to serve you all the way. I'm here to be obedient all the way. I'm here to bid your beck and call, Lord. Whatever you would say, help me to be obedient and follow. That's what we're saying. So let us be about it. Let us do it. Let us say amen to His will and let us follow that. You know, one of my favorite songs is 292. You know, I really love this song. Because to me, when I sing this song, I really want to mean it, you know. Spirit holy in me dwelling, ever work as thou shalt choose. All my ransomed powers and talents for thy purpose thou shalt use. And so when I sing that, I'm saying that to God. Lord, use me. However you choose to use me, do it by your Spirit. Not by my ability or... But use it by your Spirit, Lord. Oh, how sweet is thy abiding. Oh, how tender is the love thou hast shed abroad within me from the Father, heart above. Thou hast cleansed me for thy temple, garnished with thy graces rare. All my soul thou art enriching by thy fullness dwelling there. In me now reveal thy glory, that thy might be ever shown. Keep me from the world's defilement, sacred for thyself alone. And so to me, this is a consecration to God, a full surrender unto the Lord, saying, Lord, I'm in your hands to do with me as you will. Yes, I have a lot of responsibilities and things in my life, and help me, Lord. Help me to be balanced in those things and help me not to forsake you without forsaking my responsibilities as well. And I'm learning that. You know, I'm really trying to learn how to be everything that the Lord would have me be. You know, I hear that prayer request a lot. I pray that the Lord would help me to be all that He would have me to be. And it's a blessing. It's a great prayer request.
Yes.
And I pray that we would be obedient to the call when He reveals it.
Amen.
When He says, you know what? Okay, this is what I would have you to be. And be able to say, Amen, Lord.
Yes.
I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how you're going to do it. Because honestly, I don't see it in myself. But if it's what you say and it's what you want, then okay.
Yes.
My heart's in your hands to do according to your will. You know, one of the things I was thinking about in forsaking God is those who forsake the call of salvation. You know, the Lord's calling upon your heart. You know, the Lord is saying, it says that He stands at the door and knocks. We read that verse today. He stands at the door and knocks. What will you do when the Lord is knocking on that door of yours? When He's pricking you in your heart. And He's telling you, you know what, it's time. It's time for you to surrender. It's time for you to get saved. It's time for you to offer yourself up to me. You know, that's a blessing. That's a gift that God gives you, that knock on the heart. Because like we heard earlier in the meeting, that, you know, maybe right now is that time, that statute of limitations, so to speak. Maybe that knock won't come again next time. Maybe today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow's not promised. Will you heed the call? Will you listen to the Lord knocking on your heart's door and open up to Him and let Him come in? It's not a fearful thing to give your life to God.
Amen.
It's more of a fearful thing to stay in the world. I lived in the world a long time, and it's a fearful place. I thank God for the sanctuary of His presence.
Yes.
You know, the hedge of protection that He gives. It's a blessing to serve the Lord.
Yes.
You know, everybody has trouble. Everybody has problems in life. Everybody has hardships. But the thing with those who are serving God is they have a Savior.
Yes.
They have a Comforter. They have one who can bring peace to their hearts during those situations, where those without God don't.
That's right.
That's why they're weeping and gnashing with teeth, because they have no comfort in their soul from the anguish. Will we continue to let God knock on our door and not give heed? Will we continue to forsake Him when He calls upon us and says, it's time, get saved? And we say, Lord, it's not a convenient time for me. I'm too young. I want to experience life. Or I'm too old. You know, I can't change my ways. You know, whatever our response to God is, He's not asking us to do it all on our own and all in our own power, but He's only asking us to surrender our will to Him, to give our life to Him, and let Him take care of the rest. You know, help Him to lead us and guide us, to be open, willing to examine me, Lord. Search me. Try my heart. Help me to see if there be any wicked way in me. Open my eyes. Renew me. Renew my mind. You know, the Lord promises a lot of things to us if we would just surrender and give our lives over to Him. You know, I was thinking about the knocking, that Jesus knocks on the door of our hearts and asks to come in. He's requesting to come and abide with us. You know, he came and He did a lot of things for us. He suffered and died on a cross without having done anything wrong, so that we can have salvation. And are we just going to throw that away and act like it doesn't mean anything? Or are we just going to say, well, you know what, I'll pick it up when I feel like it? The Lord doesn't work that way. You know, I've been thinking about that a lot, as far as people who say, well, you know, when I get on my deathbed, I'll pray then. You know, like we said, the 5-minute prayer, you know, is going to get us there. I really don't believe that it works that way. I pray that the Lord will give you a heart of repentance in that time, if you do decide to wait until the last minute. I do pray that the Lord would give you repentance, because it says that Esau sought it with tears.
Yes.
And wasn't able to find it.
Yes.
It's a gift.
Yes.
If God's dealing with your heart, it's a gift.
Yes.
That you can't just throw it away and think, well, I'll just wait till next time. It might not be a next time. We gotta give it up. Give your heart to God. You know, there was a scripture that in Luke chapter 13, and I was thinking about the knocking on the door. Jesus Christ knocking on the door of our hearts and asking us to come in, or let Him in. And then this verse in Luke chapter 13, verse 25, it says, we'll go ahead and start at 22. And He went through the city and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then said one to Him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And He said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not, whence you are. I thought about that, the Lord knocking on the door of our hearts and us refusing to let him in. What's going to happen when we're knocking on his door and asking the Lord to let us in? And we haven't been invited. We cannot wait. We cannot put things off like that. We can't act like we're in control. You know, that we're commanding God. And we're telling him how we're going to do things or how we're going to get saved or not get saved and when and all that. We don't command God. Heed the call. Listen. The Lord is calling. I pray that we won't forsake him. Isaiah 55 and 6. We read this, I believe, earlier as well. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Praise God.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Yes. Call upon him while he's near. Please.
Amen.
If the Lord's knocking on your heart, let him have it.
Amen.
It's not worth it to wait. Let God bless you today.
Yes.
Let the Lord do something in your heart today. Give him your heart. If the Lord's asking you to do something in service, give it to him.
Amen.
You don't have to have to know all the ins and outs and how he's going to do it and how he's going to make it work and everything. You don't have to know that. Just know that he's calling and answer. Say, okay, Lord, my heart says amen to your will.
Amen.
Just show me what to do next. I'm here to do whatever it is you would ask of me to do. You know, like I was saying in the beginning, when the Lord told me, Demas has forsaken me. And I searched my heart and asked him, Lord, is it I?
Yes.
Is it me? Have I forsaken you in some way in my life? Have I held something back from you? Have I done something to displease you? Help me to see it, Lord. Help me to know. And the grace of God will show it. The mercy of God will reveal it. God is good for that. And so I think about the disciples when Jesus said that one of them was to betray him. And it says in Matthew 26, 21 and 22. It says, and they did eat. He said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I?
Yes.
And so I would ask that we would think about this and think about the message today and ask the Lord, Lord, is it I?
Yes.
Am I the one that's forsaking you? Am I the one that's not heeding your call? Am I the one that's shutting you out when you knock on the door? Is it I, Lord? Is it me? Examine your heart. And I pray that the Lord would help you not to leave this place today without having given him all.
Yes.
Where you can say with sincerity and in all your heart, yes, my heart says amen to your will, Lord. I'm yours. I belong to you. Do with me as you see fit. Help me to serve you with all my heart, all my soul, all my might.
Amen.
Pray for me.